This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wahdah, wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. ألا من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected علماء, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz Hamza read so beautifully, and many a times what the Hafiz reads becomes the topic for discussion amongst our ulama. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi rahimahullah, many a times when you see his bayans and you read about his bayans, used to have that I do not know what to read, I do not know what to speak, but the Qari read something and that became the means of the topic. Alhamdulillah, although in this instance the topic has already been determined, but I recited the verse which Qari Sahib and Muhafiz Sahib had recited. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Verily all believers are brothers unto one another. In this world, my dear respected brothers, we have different alliances, people getting together on different bases. So you have the alliances of economic interests. You have the European Union, you have NATO, you had once upon a time the Warsaw Pact. So people had different alliances based on different things. Sometimes it is based on economic interests, sometimes it is based on political leanings, sometimes it is based on coalitions. The way South Africa is going, we might have to come to terms with regard to the getting together of coalitions. But one amazing aspect with regard to an alliance which is based on faith, and that is what Allah Ta'ala in Surah Hujurat in the 10th ayat has made mention. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. All believers and believers who are mu'mins in the true sense of the word, who are ikhwa, they are brothers unto one another. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Bring reconciliation among brothers, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have mercy upon you. Brothers, this brotherhood is a very amazing brotherhood. And this particular brotherhood is not only based on faith, it is part of faith. So in Abu Dawood Sharif, there is a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You cannot enter into Jannah until you have iman. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. You cannot have iman until you love one another. Subhanallah. Loving one another is part of iman. If you don't love one another, you do not have iman. أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not show you something? That if you do it, Allah Ta'ala will grant muhabbat amongst you. أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the salam amongst you. But then another amazing thing is that this particular brotherhood, Allah in the Quran has used a very amazing way to describe this brotherhood. We all heard, I saw that in the post it was made mention with regard to unity of this Muslim brotherhood, and mathalul mu'minin mu'minun ka rajuli wahid. The example of the believers is like one single body, like one single entity. And to give you an example of that, look at how Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has referred to our interaction amongst believers. So normally when you speak, you will speak and say that I made salam to the next person. Or sometimes you will tell person, don't kill another person. Or you will say, don't look for faults out in another person. That's how we normally would speak. That's the manner of conversation. But this brotherhood between believers is so strong that Allah Ta'ala, when He refers to the interaction between believers, look at how He couches the message and the commands of Allah. فَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't look for faults in your own self. Looking for faults in your next Muslim brother is like looking for faults in your own self. Lams means to pierce. Don't pierce and search for faults in your own Muslim brother. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't kill yourself. Now, no one normally kills yourself, of course. Suicide is another matter, is a different matter. But here Allah is not making mention of suicide. Here Allah Ta'ala is making mention, don't kill another person. But look at how Allah Ta'ala puts it. Don't kill yourself. To kill another Muslim brother is like killing your own self, becoming weak amongst your own self. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this whole particular brotherhood is like one brotherhood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that particular love amongst this brotherhood. And this brotherhood requires us to be united. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed a great amount of emphasis upon the unity of this brotherhood. On one occasion, in the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one expedition, there was an incident that happened between two Sahaba. It was an individual conflict, individual dispute. So it was over water. One person from Makkah, one person from Medina, they had an argument. But that particular argument went out of hand, and the person of Makkah called his own friends from Makkah. And the person from Medina called his own friends from Medina. So what was an individual conflict? It conflated into a almost, you know, a tension and a dispute and an argument and almost, you know, great amount of tension between the people of Makkah and the people of Medina. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to know about it, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam rebuked the Sahaba, and he said, "Since when are you calling people on the basis of tribalism, on the basis of parties? This is my party, that is my party, and you're calling one another and you're fighting." دَعُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا مُنْتِنَةً. Stay away from these type of slogans. It emits an odor, it's got a smell. Stay away from it because it's got an odor, it's got a smell. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a very novel approach in dealing with this matter. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started traveling. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled at a time when normally the people in Arabia didn't travel. It was right in the time of, you know, Zuhr time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled for a whole considerable period of time until the people were so tired thereafter that they couldn't bear and they couldn't, you know, concentrate on that. They were so tired and the whole dispute went away. But look at this. Da'uha fa'inna muntana. Stay away from calling people on parties. Stay away from creating disunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is muntana. And in this particular regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that we must be united. Yadullahi alal jama'ah. Allah Ta'ala says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala's hand of assistance is upon the united lot. فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. The blessings of Allah is on the united lot. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, the son of Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, had a lot of passion for what he termed as ummat pana, bringing the ummat together as one. A lot of passion on this. So in his last bayan, just few days before he passed away, he spoke about ummat pana, how to bring the ummah together. That particular bayan of his, the son of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, is printed in English. And I saw that people have been printing it and they give it. It's worthy of sometimes reading it. And maybe if you do a Google search also, you might find it. He put so much of emphasis upon unity. And he said this ummat is one. And the ummat will only come one when people look beyond their own tribes. They look beyond their own particular type of tribes, their own partisanships, their own friends, and you look beyond that to the oneness of the ummah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that particular bayan, he has made mention. He said, Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will call a person and put him in Jannah and say, Ya Allah, why am I being put in Jannah? And Allah will say, the ummah was in a critical juncture, they were fighting, they were disunited. And you said one sentence and you brought the ummah together, going to Jannah because of that. And he said, a person will be called and he will be put in Jahannam. And people will, he will say, why were you put in Jahannam? He said, the ummah was in a critical juncture. And you said a statement and you created division. And you created disunity. Because of that, go into Jahannam. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of it. In there he has quoted and he said, sometimes to create disunity, it is more severe in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than even staying away, which he has made mention, you can go and read it, staying away even from Jummah Salat. To create disunity and hatred amongst the Muslims is so severe in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, this ummah needs unity. Today, one of the major reasons, Mu'abul Hasan Nadwi Rahimullah said, one of the major reasons why people have Muslims have lost civilizations has not been because of, you know, other things other than disunity. He said, I refuse to believe that, you know, in places like the Mughal Empire, the Mughal civilization, the Spanish civilization. I went twice to Spain. And I got a modem of authority on the history of Spain because I've read much on it. And I've seen Ibn Battuta rahmatullah alayhi, the famous Muslim traveler, went to Spain and he already predicted that the fall of Spain way before it actually happened. And you know what he said? He said, I never seen a place which had so many Amirul Mu'mineen in one place the way they have in Spain. Sounds familiar, huh? Everyone wants to become the way we say, too many chiefs and no Indians. Everyone wants to become the leader. Everyone wants to become the Amirul Mu'mineen. In this world, there used to be, it started off was one Khilafat. Afterwards, it had 22 city-states. 22 city-states. And all of them were Muslim. And they used to take the assistance of Isabel and Ferdinand and fight against the other Muslim state, Muslim city-state. And thereafter, the Muslim city-state, they used to defeat that Muslim city-state through the means of the help of Isabel and Ferdinand, the Christians. And then that particular Christian used to help them to defeat that Muslim. Then they used to finish this one here also. And then they were completely destroyed. You know, so much so that 800 years of rule came out due to disunity. Came to an end because of disunity. One of the primary reasons. There are other reasons also. Because of that, you know, this happened. And then afterwards, amazingly, they got together. You can see the history of Spain is amazing. So all the beautiful cities that were under Muslim rule, all of them started falling one after the other. Cordoba, Seville. Seville, actually, we only know Seville. Our youngsters know Seville because, you know, there is a soccer team that comes from Seville. It actually was Ishbilia. Huh? So Ishbilia was the Muslim city. So all of that fell until Muslims came and they gathered around a city called Granada. Huh? In Granada, after all the other, you know, cities and all of that fell, for 250 years Muslims still had rulership. And that particular Granada was amazing. And all of a sudden the Muslims were starting to raise up again. And the Muslims started seeing the dream that now all those cities, Cordoba, we had fallen, we are going to take it back. And then there was a dispute between the Muslim ruler of Granada and nearby Malaga. And that also finished. 250 rules came to an end. Because, and this particular unity, Islam teaches us that all segments of community must be together. All segments of community must be together. Now look at this. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala says that one day a person came in the gathering of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was old. So when he came and he was old, then you found that people took time to give him space. So the very famous hadith which most of us have heard, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it on this occasion. مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He who does not show mercy upon our youngs and who does not show respect and dignity to our old people, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He's not from amongst this ummat. I want you to consider this hadith, my dear respected brothers. He who does not show compassion to the young and who does not show respect and dignity to the old, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He's not from amongst us. So we have to have both. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought the young and the old together. That the old are supposed to show compassion and the young are supposed to show respect and dignity. Now if you look at a young person and you look at an old person, you will find an amazing thing. What does a young person want? A young person, no matter how independent he might seem to be, he wants compassion. And if we don't give him compassion, he will go somewhere else to look for compassion. Brothers, I'm saying a very important thing. Today we all complain about our youngsters going into different isms and ideologies. We need to ask ourselves the question, what did they find there that they're not finding within us? What did they find there that they are not finding within us? Those that did not show compassion to the young, they will go somewhere else. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he who does not show compassion to the young. And what do old people want? Old people want a certain degree of respect and dignity. Look at the beauty. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say anything out of, just look at the wisdom. Have mercy and compassion upon the young and heavy. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed it. When the time of Fatah Makkah happened, you know, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought his father Abu Quhafa in the gathering to become a Muslim. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abu Bakr, why did you bring your father here? He would have told me, I would have gone to visit him. He is old. Huh? Don't wait for that old person to come and meet you. You go and meet the old person. Oh, Abu Bakr, why did you bring your father here? You should have told me, I would have gone to meet him. SubhanAllah. This is how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt. And you know, this brotherhood, my dear, let me, I'm going to say a very important thing. When this brotherhood was strong, it not only protected its own, it protected others. Today this brotherhood is weak, it can't protect its own. When this Muslim brotherhood was strong, it protected its own and it protected others. And when this brotherhood has become weak, it can't even protect its own. We all know the incident of Mu'tasim Billah. Well, Mu'tasim was not regarded to be one of the more better rulers in our history. He was more or less okay. I heard one scholar one day saying that even those particular rulers in the past, in the early stages of Islamic history that we don't regard as very great, you can sacrifice 100 of our present rulers for one of them. One of them was Mu'tasim. Mu'tasim heard that Muslim woman was being abducted and taken away in abduction by the Roman forces. And as she was led away from the Muslim by the non-Muslim forces, she said, Wa Mu'tasima. Oh Mu'tasim, you say you are the Khalifa of the Muslims. Where are you to protect me? Wa Mu'tasima. It had such an impact upon him. He had such an impact upon him. He wrote a letter to the Roman Empire. He said, you free that Muslim woman. Otherwise, I will send an army. By the time the beginning of that army reaches you, the last portion of that army will still be leaving from Baghdad. I will send such a force to release one Muslim woman that force, when it comes to you, the end of that force will still be leaving Baghdad. The Roman Empire had to free that woman. Today, look at how many of our Muslim women and children and elderly people are languishing in the jails and being oppressed by the enemies of Islam. We can't do nothing because this Muslim brotherhood has become weak. And we used to protect others. And if you look at, for example, in Spain, not only were Muslims oppressed and they were killed and they were forced out, even the Jews were taken out. And the Jews got refuge by the Muslims. In North Africa, they got refuge in Turkey, and this has been throughout the world. Umar radiallahu anhu one day came and walked on the streets of Medina and he saw an old Jewish person begging. He saw an old Jewish person begging and he said, why are you begging? So he said, I have to pay jizya and I have no means. I've gone old, I can't work, so I have to beg. Now jizya is even less than what the Muslims pay for zakat. And jizya is a separate subject why the non-Muslims pay jizya. Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it in the Holy Quran. So he said, so Umar radiallahu ta'ala took him to the Baytul Mal and he wept. And you know what he said? He said, we have done something that is not fair. We took money from you when you were young and now we can't look after you when you are old. So the Baytul Mal give him every month a stipend. Don't allow him to beg. We protected others when this Muslim was still, brotherhood was strong. We gave refuge to others. Give him a stipend from Baytul Mal every month. Huh? We took from you when you were young. Now when we're old, we can't look after you. Brothers, this is the Muslim brotherhood. When it is strong, it can do wonders. Today, unfortunately, we don't have that, brothers. We turn away. I always tell people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah, the finality of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prophethood, the greatness of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran is the kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those particular people will be closer to those people who don't believe in these facts. Ek hi Nabi, ek hi Quran, ek hi. Fir kyun batak gaya insaan? Where we become hating one another when we have certain common things that brings us together? Muhammadur Rasulullah. والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. Muhammad is the Rasul of Almighty Allah. Those who are with him, they are harsh upon the disbelievers. They are merciful upon their own selves. Today it seems we are almost the opposite. Where do we have that particular muhabbat amongst ourselves? And brothers, this particular brotherhood, it requires and has a certain amount of responsibilities. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, لَا تَقَاطَعُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَذُوا وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ أَخْوَانًا. Don't turn against one another. Don't have hasad against one another. Don't cut yourself off from one another. Don't hate one another. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ أَخْوَانًا. And be brothers unto one another. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is sufficient for a person to be destroyed by him hating another Muslim brother. Sufficient for your destruction that you hate someone. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention, لا يحل للرجل أن يحجر أخاه فوق الثلاث. It is not permissible for a believer to stay away out of hostility from his next Muslim brother for more than 3 days. Sometimes people say that, no, but the hadith says, if I stay more than 3 days away from someone, فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. If I die, I go into the fire of Jahannam. But it means out of hostility. It doesn't mean someone is in Durban and someone is in Joburg, you don't meet him for 3 days. That is something that is natural. It's going to happen. Right? But out of hostility that you don't speak to someone, you meet him and you don't make salam to him. And if you were to die in that particular stage, Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, you are going to Jahannam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, every Monday and Thursday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the believers, except the people who are at hostility with one another, fighting with one another. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala tells the malaika, leave them. وَكَانَتْ بَيْنَ أَخِيهِ وَكَانَتْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَا. That those particular people who have hostility with one them, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, leave them. Leave them until they reconcile. Then I will forgive them. Until they are fighting, their particular forgiveness is suspended. The forgiveness is suspended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we have hatred? Yes. Even if, for example, a person does wrong, and this is a very important point, we cannot condone that which is wrong. But our ulama have made mention, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's action is that you hate the sin, you don't hate the sinner. So you make a distinction. We don't believe in condoning evil. Because if you condone evil, what's going to happen? A time will come that the lines will be blurred to such an extent you won't know what is right and what is wrong. We are firm on what is right and wrong, it's wrong. Someone does something wrong, what you are doing is wrong. You are not reading five times daily salat, is wrong. You have committed an act of immorality, you are committing an act of immorality is wrong. It is evil. You have lied, you have acted dishonestly, that act of dishonesty is wrong. Right? But whether after doing that, whether Allah Ta'ala is going to put you in Jahannam, or whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, or whether you have the right to regard yourself superior to that person who has done wrong, that's not permissible. That Allah will judge. You are not the one who's going to judge that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge. You judge the action by saying that is wrong. You don't judge the person. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, there was a person who had taken alcohol. And when he had taken alcohol, they were busy, you know, giving him punishment. And as they were punishing him, someone said, "Akhza'aka Allah, may Allah ta'ala disgrace you." And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rebuked the person and said, "How dare you say Allah ta'ala disgrace him? I bear witness that he has love for Allah and his Rasul. Don't help shaitan against your Muslim brother. You're going to say you are evil. So you're going to discard him, put him away. And if we start discarding the people who do evil, what's going to happen? Then they will say, okay, I'm evil, so what? Like one day, someone told me one day in a after I gave a bayan, he said, Maulana, my, I'm really, I'm telling you the fact, what has actually happened to me. He said, Maulana, my wife said that you people have already put us in Jahannam, so what's the use of striving? We're already gone now, why you tell? We would have put everyone just away, they're gone. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't help shaitan against your Muslim brother. So you put him away. You say, Allah Ta'ala disgrace you, you're gone. What hope does he have of reformation? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to bring people out of Jahannam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's one hadith, he says, Mu'tami Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of this hadith in Hayatul Muslimin also. He says that my example and your example is like you are trying to go into the fire. Like how you find moths going into the fire. When they see fire, they become excited. They go into it, even if they self-destruct. You are going into the fire and I'm catching you and I'm bringing you back. I say, don't go into the fire. If it was in today's time, I would say, go into the fire. And even if you don't want to, we would have pushed him into the fire. We take more joy in people taking people and putting them in Jahannam than taking him out of Jahannam. That's the sad reality of our situation. We find greater joy in people in putting people in Jahannam than to take them out of Jahannam or saving them from Jahannam. This is the sad reality. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't do that to him. Don't put him in that. So we make a distinction. If, for example, we start taking this particular way, and brothers, we don't know who's better. Hazrat Usama bin Zayd, all famous hadith, famous incident, Ya Allah. You know, if you look at the circumstances, you know, perhaps we all would have done the same thing, what Abu Usama bin Zayd did. He's fighting with a non-Muslim. They are in jihad. And the person runs away. Usama bin Zayd pursues him, corners him. He's about to kill him. He's in a battle. He came to fight against you. If he had half a chance, he would have killed you. And now you're cornering him. And he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And Ya Allah. Usama bin Zayd said, look at the situation. He was fighting against me. He would have killed me. And now he is cornered. Now he's saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What must I assume? And he kills him. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard about it, he rebuked Usama and said, Usama, what answer are you going to give to the kalima when it approaches you on the day of Qiyamah that you kill a person who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? Usama bin Zayd, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, rebuked me so much, I hope that the earth could have open and swallowed me. فَحَلَّا شَقَقْتَ قَلْبًا. Oh, Usama, did you look into his heart with what intention he said the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? How do we make this judgment? Abattu came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'anhu and he said, Abdullah, tell me who's going to judge us on the day of Qiyamah? Who's going to take account from us on the day of Qiyamah? And Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Allah. And Abattu said, Subhanallah. Then I am successful. He said, I wouldn't want my mother to take account of my deeds on the day of Qiyamah instead of Allah Ta'ala. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will decide. And Allah Ta'ala, wallahi, my dear respected brothers, there is no one better to decide than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Who are we to make that judgment? فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't praise yourself. He knows who is perfect. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, sometimes a person does so much good deeds, there is one span between him and Jannat. And Allah Ta'ala takes away hidayat. You don't do good deeds because you are pious. Or only you are pious. You do good deeds because Allah gave you the tawfiq. And if he takes away the tawfiq, then you will not be able to do good deeds. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In one interpretation, that's the same meaning. I cannot do good deeds. I cannot stay away from evil, but with the permission and the quwwat and the power of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, this particular aspect. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one span between him and Jannat. Allah Ta'ala takes away, he becomes a Jahannami. And sometimes there is a person who is one span between him and Jahannam because of the evil he has done. Allah gives him hidayat, he becomes a Jannati. And there are so many examples of this. Are we going to judge people? And then if we judge people, that means, and if we throw people away, then this whole history of ours, this remarkable history of people who have reformed after being on the wrong path, what's going to happen to all of that remarkable legacy that we have? Umar radiallahu ta'ala was on the way to kill Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The greatest sin that you can ever imagine. Today he's buried next to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where do we get this judgment? Why do we throw people away? Bring them closer. Do your effort to bring them closer to Allah. Yes, we will say what you are doing is wrong, but we will not judge you. We will not judge what you are doing. We will say what you are doing is wrong, but we'll make dua for you. And we will try our utmost to bring you closer, and we must also become steadfast. That's the way we are supposed to do. Someone has said beautiful statements in this regard. Huh? They say every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Huh? Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. And no matter how tainted your past is, remember what I'm saying, brothers, no matter how much guna you have committed, no matter how much sin you have committed, wallahi al-azim, your future is spotless. No matter how much sin you have committed, your future, you got no guna. You haven't got one guna in your future. No matter how much guna you have committed in the past. Fuzail ibn Ayaz, rahmatullah alayhi, was a robber of note. Huh? A gangster of note. Today when we take the name of Fuzail, just our words just have a different connotation. It just, you know, reveres Fuzail ibn Ayaz. Fuzail, rahmatullah alayhi. But do you know who was Fuzail? When he came into a village, the entire village cleared up the village. Huh? They said, you take what you want. We don't have the courage to be able to pursue you, or we don't have the courage to stay against you, or say anything. We don't have the courage to fight against you. Take what you want. And one day he came into a village, and he walked into one, and he saw that one particular house, the people were still there. And in a rage, he went into that house. How dare you know my notoriety, and you're still in your house? And there was a young girl reading Quran, and she read this verse, أَلَمْ يَعْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. There's a time not come for people to fear Allah Ta'ala. He just stood still. He didn't move. People said, what has happened? That particular ayat had such an impact upon him, he walked away from there. He changed his life. He became one of the greatest Sufis in our history. A person who used to rob people. Huh? And he had one ayat of the Holy Quran. Now, for example, we judge him, you're so like this, you go to Jahannam. How would he have come for the evening? So, brothers, stay away from this particular aspect. So I think it's very important for us to understand this brotherhood is a very amazing brotherhood. We can't believe, stay away this hatred. Ya Allah, where do we have this type of time for hatred? You know, the amount of time that we spend upon hatred, if we had spent it in loving people, لا خير لمن لا يعلف ولا يؤلف. There is no good in a person who does not love people and people don't love him. What type of life do you have? You don't love people, people don't love you. You all the time only full of hatred. All the time you see you all. Sahaba say that we never saw anyone more smiling than our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an epitome of kindness, compassion, looking after people. If you have to look at the entire life of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the one that comes in the mind with regard to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the one? And don't taunt a person because of his past or what he has done wrong. How do you know that he could have made tawbah with regard to it? Allah Ta'ala could have changed it. This afternoon I made mention, and I will just try to conclude with these few incidents. Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi. I mean, sometimes you think, Ya Allah, in the Khairul Qurun people also sometimes they were not angels. Only Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam were free from sins. Sometimes people did get and did something that was untowards, inappropriate. Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi had a weakness of taking alcohol. On the eve of the greatest and most decisive battle of Islam, Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi was found to be intoxicated. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas locked him up. Because in Islam, to drink alcohol is not an individual thing. It's a punishable offense. You have to be punished. And that's the reason why, look at the amount of accidents that happened because of drunken driving. If the government was serious with regard to it, they would have done something. So sometimes you see there's so much inconsistencies in our world today. You know, drink but don't drive. Drive but don't drink. Now, what do you mean? If it's wrong, it's wrong. Don't sit, drink and don't drive. But anyway, this is something. So they locked him up. But he was a warrior. He wanted to fight. He was known for his legendary exploits in the battlefield. So he started singing poetry. And in that poetry he said, the battle is raging. I'm a warrior. I want to fight for the sake of Islam. but my situation is such I can't fight. I can't fight. What am I going to do? So he was singing this poetry when Salma, the wife of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, overheard. What are you saying? She said, please untie me. I promise, if I go and I save myself, I will come back and lock myself up myself. And if I get martyred, then of course you don't have to worry, I'm martyred. Who's going to take your name? Martyred, anyone who becomes a martyr, shaheed, there's always a certain degree of reverence and respect for that person. No one will take your name. Why are you worried? So she unlocked him. Freed him. When he came back, he didn't even have any horse. There was only a horse of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, the general's extra horse, took it and started going into the battle and changed the whole course of the battle. Wherever he went, he just created, you know, disunity and disharmony in the ranks of the enemies. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is witnessing this. He said, who is this person? If it was not for the fact that I had locked Abu Mahjan, I would have stated this is Abu Mahjan. But I had locked him up. And look at that horse. That horse looks like bikes. What is wrong? Ya Allah. And then, when at the end of the day, Qadisiyah took place over 3 days, if I'm not mistaken, 3 or 4 days. So when he comes back, you know, he changed the whole course. And when he comes back, Salma said, Abu Mahjan pleaded with me, I freed him. What? Went to Abu Mahjan. Abu Mahjan said, Sa'd, free me. Wallahi al-Azim, I will never ever take alcohol again. And Sa'd freed him. A man who took alcohol became the hero of Islam. The man who took alcohol became the hero of Islam in one of the most decisive battles in our history. I can go on giving so many examples with regard to this man. The overall aspect of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was one of compassion, bringing people together. We bring people together, we have kindness. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ It is Allah Ta'ala's rahmat that the Prophet of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala was kind. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًا غَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ If he was harsh and he was vulgar, the people would not have surrounded him. I want you to reflect on this verse of the Quran in the fourth supah of the Quran. Allah said if he was harsh, you would not have come around him. Who would not have come around him? Who would not have come around him? Sahaba. So, they came around him because of his kindness, because of his compassion. If he was not like that, you would not have surrounded him the way you surrounded him because of his kindness and compassion. In this age, 1400 years down the line, do you think people are going to come around you if you are not kind and compassionate? And you are harsh. I mean, Allah Ta'ala said with regard to our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that people would not have come around him if he was, no, the way they came around him because of his kindness and compassion. Where are you going to bring people together if you are going to be harsh? The time now with our youngsters, given the great amount of crisis they had, identity crisis, gender crisis. Now look at this whole gender crisis. So it doesn't make sense. A person is not fit to vote. He's not in that particular age where he can vote, but he can make a decision with regard to whether he's a man or a woman. It just doesn't, it defies common sense. But that is the reality of the world which has been pushed in that direction. Transgender. Now you have, you know, they're in OR Tempo, I believe, I didn't see, but someone told me you have gender neutral toilets. I said, why? He said, well, the person doesn't know whether he's a man or a woman. We must have a toilet for such a person. We laugh at this. But this is the reality with regard to what our youngsters have been forced. If you are not going to have that ta'alluq and compassion with them, what's going to happen to them? If you're going to just say, start giving such people, and this one is like this, and that one is like that, how are you going to bring them closer? Now is the time, Wallahi al-Azim, that we must be extra compassionate. And this was the way of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of the Battle of Uhud, Sahaba said that, Ya Rasulullah, you have been bleeding. Look at what they have done to you. They have, you know, amazing thing of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's 2 teeth became shaheed. And normally when your 2 teeth become shaheed, what happens? You know, you become a little bit of a size. You really take 2 teeth coming out, what actually happens? You all know what actually happens. Sahaba said that there was nothing in the appearance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that seemed untowards after that. In fact, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's husn and his beauty became even more beautiful and striking. But because it was there, the Sahaba loved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much, they couldn't bear it. Ya Rasulullah, curse these people who did this against you. Curse them. And one Sahabi, I don't remember the name, Ya Rasulullah, curse them. Curse them, Ya Rasulullah. And they were, why they said so? If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursed them, then Allah Ta'ala's punishment would have come to the fore. And they would have been destroyed. In fact, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blood was coming out, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was catching his blood that not to fall on the ground. And ulama write, they said, when a Nabi's blood falls on the ground, Allah Ta'ala's punishment and anger comes to the fore. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted that this blood mustn't fall on the ground. Allah mustn't destroy him. And subhanallah, at that particular time, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, curse them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted his hands. And he was just saying something. Some of the Sahaba felt happy. They started, you know, putting their ears. Now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to curse them. And now they're going to be destroyed. And when they heard, and they strained their ears to hear, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma ahdi qawm fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, grant hidayah to my people, they are ignorant. Is it not amazing that most of the people who were there in Uhud, who did this to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of them, if not most of them, became Muslims. Washi became a Muslim. Abu Sufyan became a Muslim. Khalid bin Walid became a Muslim. Ikrama bin Abi Jahal became a Muslim. All of that. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have made baddua for them, what, they would have been finished. Allahumma ahdi qawm, all of them became Muslims. Ikrama bin Abi Jahal, he took part in a battle with Khalid bin Walid. Khalid allowed me to go and fight against the enemy. I'm going in the midst of them. Khalid told Ikrama, Ikrama, you are too valuable. Ikrama was one of the greatest warriors in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Oh Ikrama, you are too valuable. Don't go and put your life at risk. And then, what did, you know, Ikrama say? Oh Khalid, you don't know my past. I fought against Islam. Don't prevent me from fighting for Islam. And he went in the midst of the battle and he was martyred, 90 wounds on his body, in front of his body. He came into Islam because of the compassion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His wife came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his wife said, Ya Rasulullah, just give protection to my husband. He has ran away. He didn't want to see you. Bring him. Bring him. Go and tell him I gave him protection. When Ikrama bin Abi Jahal came and he walked into the gathering, Sahaba said, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up out of excitement. So much so that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lungi became loose and he had to pull it up again. And before he came, you know what he told the Sahaba? Don't speak bad about his father. That father who was Abu Jahl, the greatest kafir in the history of humanity. Don't speak bad about his father. Don't speak bad. Because by speaking bad of the deceased, you don't change a fortune for a fortune. Whatever is meant for them will come. You only hurt the feelings of the living. That's how he became a Muslim. So my dear respected brothers, in conclusion, I will just say two things. There's a lot of things that are happening. Social media, others, that at least we must not become part of it. We must become part of bringing people together. Don't you become part of creating disunity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah said, should I not tell you something that is even more rewarding and virtuous than tahajjud prayers and nafil roza? Bala ya Rasulullah, tell us ya Rasulullah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, al-islahu dhat al-bayyin. Bring people together. Reconcile people. Don't let them fight. Because if you fight, here al-haliqa, it shaves off. And because shaving is attached to the hair, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I don't say it shaves off your hair, it shaves off your deen. Your deen is gone. So bring people together. And if you can't bring people together, at least don't create fitna. Will we all do that, inshallah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayta ya al-jalali wal ikram. Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubina. ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم علم بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وحدهم سبل السلام وأخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبهم الفواحش والفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم بارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقلوبنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا وتوب علينا يا مولانا توبة نصوحة إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم ربنا تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.